Hey there, this is Seth Juarez here from Channel 9. I got two special guests today, Sachin and Nico. Tell us about who you are and what you do.
I'm Sachin from the Power BI Visualization team, and I'm a developer.
I'm Nico Kristach for Power BI Visualization team, and I'm an engineer manager.
I am a fan of visualization, so tell us what you got today for us.
So today we're going to teach you how to build a custom visualization that you can use in Power BI. And at the end of this all, we have a little surprise for you, so try not to forward to the end.
Ooh, okay, so yeah, please stay. All right, go ahead, yes. Show us what you got.
But Sachin, before we jump into writing some code, I would like to take a little bit of time to introduce the team and our goals.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so the new Power BI web experience started almost 9 months to 1 year ago. And we made a huge bet at that point on client-side visualization technologies. Mm-hmm. Our goals were simple. So first, we wanted to build something that would allow us to use all the modern technologies, web technologies, mm-hmm. like D3JS, WebGL, you name it.
Yeah.
Yes. Very interesting and cool. And second, we wanted to build a visualization stack that will allow developers like you, maybe, to one day to go and build new visuals and integrate them into the system, into our service.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Yes, and that day is today.
Oh, fantastic.
And Sachin will gonna show us how to do that.
So what you're telling me is that not only with Power BI can you use whatever visualizations you already have, but you're gonna show us how to make your own custom one.
That's correct.
Oh, fantastic. Yep. Let's see.
So the first thing you need to do is to head over to Power BI's GitHub page and follow the getting started instructions that are on the wiki. This will land you up and into the Playground app. Uh-huh. And the Playground app is like a nice way for you to play around with your visualizations. You can resize it. You can turn on animations and interactions and see how things animate and when you click around. So that's basically what the Playground is about.
So to be clear, this is a this is something that you can fork from GitHub to start in the Playground to make your own visualizations.
Correct. Okay. That's right. So let's create a new one. Let's head into Visual Studios. You just have to right-click and add a new item.
And this is after we fork, correct?
That's correct.
Cool.
Yes, once you've followed all the instructions, cloned your repository, and this is what you get. You
Got
open
it.
Up the solution, and you end up, and you add a new visualization. So I'm just going to create an aster plot today. So I'm just going to call this file aster plot.
And that's cool, because it looks like you have your own templates for creating visualizations in TypeScript.
Correct. Yes, so it can be quite confusing when you're starting off and a new framework, you need some sort of boilerplate code just to know what APIs to comment on and things like that. So the first thing you'll notice here is capabilities. Capabilities is kind of your visualization's way of telling the Power BI system what you're capable of doing. So what kind of fields you take, how do these fields relate to each other, what sort of formatting options you provide, and how you want it to deal with large volumes of data. So this is where you would talk about what sort of data reduction algorithms to use.
That's interesting.
Yes, and capabilities is also a way for you to provide hints to our natural language system, which helps it better answer users' questions and probably show your visualization as a result.
That's awesome. So the visual capabilities is the way for the developer to say, this is what this can do.
Correct.
And not only does it have to do with, for example, what kind of data points it can take, but also natural language stuff, like you said, and then large data, because people don't realize that if this stuff is happening on the client,
correct.
And you're sending gigabytes of data down using JavaScript, there might be a problem. So you got a way to have a way to compress it.
Yes, and often you can't really visualize all the data as well, so it might as well not waste time fetching all the data and just specify.
Like, for example, I had someone once tell me, I want to plot 20 million points on the x-axis. And I said, hey, you realize that there's not 20 million pixels on your screen. Is it going to be a problem?
That's true, yeah. So, and the rest of the interfaces are pretty simple. There's a converter, which isn't really an API option, but it's some place where you would convert data view into a view model that your visual is going to represent. Data view is the format that Power BI gives you data in. It comes in a few canonical forms, such as categorical, matrix, table, tree.
Got it.
And you would often convert this data into something that is closer to what your visual is going to represent.
I see.
And then there's init. And in init is when Power BI DOM is ready. It actually provides you with the element that you're going to draw into, and also gives you some of the host services that you can call, like text measurements and formatting. And this is only called once. Like when the visualization starts up, when you're ready, we call you with this. And for the rest of your life cycle of your visualization, you will be calling update. An update essentially gives you data view and its viewport. So every time data changes, you get update. A viewport size changes, you get update.
I see.
And every time a formatting option is changed by a user, you also get an update.
That's awesome. And so the init is the one-time setup, and then this thing is going to cycle through depending on any number of actions that happen on the client side.
Correct. And this is also to kind of simplify flow so that, like, if you, like, usually your Visual Center have a ton of interfaces, and this kind of simplifies, like, everything just goes through an update.
Nice.
And once your visual is about to be removed from the screen, we call destroy, and this is really for you to do any cleanup that you might need.
I see.
Okay. So I'm going to just copy and paste some code in here, and then I'll explain it a little more. So what I'm pasting into here is an aster plot. Essentially, as you can see, it does roughly the same things. It has some capabilities. It has the converter, which converts data view into its view model. It also has an init where it does one-time setup. In this case, it just appends an SVG node onto.
And I'm looking here. It looks like you're actually using D3 for this particular aster plot.
Yes. So most of our visualizations use D3, because D3 provides some nice APIs and interfaces for creating quick visualizations. But we do not limit you. So if you want to go ahead and use Canvas or WebGL for your visualizations, you could very well do that.
That's awesome.
And so one other thing you need to do is you need to declare a plugin for your aster plot, and finally just add it to your references. And you can see as I'm doing these changes, Gulp is building this incrementally for me, and it builds within like 5 seconds, and it's pretty quick. So plugin, I just want to talk a little bit about it before I show you this in action. It's essentially a way for you to tell Power BI that your visual is in the system. So Power BI, when it loads, it looks for all these plugins and says, oh, OK, I can create these visualization types. And this is just a few lines of code where you might want to declare, like, how would you create it, like if you want to pass in some constructor arguments. And the reason we have this is, for example, like if this was in a separate host, you might want to sort of initialize a visual in a slightly different way.
I see.
OK, so I'm just going to go ahead and launch this. And in this list, you'll see your new visualization has now appeared.
Nice.
And you can turn off animations and interactions. You can kind of resize it, see how it resizes. You can randomize data to see the different movements. You can also click around to see how it works.
So this is pretty cool. It's like a little sandbox for you to create any kind of visualization that your organization might need and host it inside of Power BI.
Correct.
Got it.
And so the thing is, that's cool. So you can test your visualization in isolation. Now, often what you want to do is how this actually fits into the Power BI ecosystem. And today we are in previewing some of the tools that you can use just for that. Oh, sorry. Let me just correct that. So if you turn on the DevTools enabled feature switch, you will be able to operate your Power BI mode in this new with this new developer tools. So you just go under the settings, you open up DevTools, and you get a live coding environment.
Interesting. And this is the same interface from before, correct, for the visualizations?
Yep. Correct. And this is also, this editor is not just some text editor. This is actually using Visual Studio's code, so you can actually get things like, if I were to type in, for example, D3, and I would get IntelliSense on these items. So you could actually, you wouldn't even need Visual Studio's. You could actually write your visualizations right in this thing. And once you're ready, we can just compile, and you can see the same code appeared.
Wow.
Right? And now I just switch back over to Power BI, click back in, and I edit my report. And over here, you'll notice, I didn't specify an icon, but I could have. But this is the default icon for it. And if I click on it, I can switch it to my new visualization. And this is a fully interactive visualization. So you can cross-filter into the visualization. You can get this one to update. and you get tooltips and animation and everything is working right.
That's fantastic, because mm-hmm. usually people complain about their visualization tools because they feel like, well, I don't have the one exactly that I want, and we use the one from, mm-hmm. but now you can actually go in and make your own visualization mm-hmm. that actually interacts with all of the other visualizations in Power BI.
Correct. And the other thing you could do now, if you go in here, you see a bunch of formatting options we have, right? Like you can turn on and off axes and uh-huh. things like this. And you might want to include this in your own visualization. So I'm going to teach you how to do that.
Nice.
And you're going to come in and you'll need a few things. So the first thing you'll need to do is, let's go back to our DevTools, right? And the first thing you need to do is go back to your capabilities, like I talked about.
And that's where you describe what mm-hmm. your visualization can do.
Correct. And so over here, I'm saying that I'll have a label, like this label in the center, and it has a bunch of properties. It just has fill, so I can change its color, and this is its type. And all I'm doing here is describing. I'm not actually creating any UI mm-hmm. for it. And same thing with, there's an outline that I would like to draw, and I would like to either show it or hide it and control its thickness. So that's the first thing. And one other required function of this is you need to be able to enumerate these properties. So the property pane in this instance is going to go through your capabilities, and it's going to ask you now. It's going to ask you, so what is the value for my label? Is it like red, green, or what is the thickness? And this is sort of like a feedback system where it will, whenever it changes the user input, it's going to provide you this new thing to the data, and then it's going to ask you what value to show. So the reason it has this sort of feedback loop mechanism is you might want to do some sort of validation. So for example, if someone enters 1,000 for a thickness, you might not want this. Mm-hmm. So you'll get 1,000 through the data view. You will say, no, maximum is 10. And then you send that back to the property pane. So the property pane doesn't have to do any validation on its own. So the visual doesn't have to do any UI. The property pane doesn't have to do any data validation. And both of them are completely independent.
Nice. So Power BI is mm-hmm. going to ask, what are the things that can be changed? Mm-hmm. You'll enumerate it with that function. And then it'll push back the values as well. And you can do validation in your own visualization.
OK. So I'm going to reload this so that you can see the effects. So right now, you saw there was nothing in the mm-hmm. property pane, right? And I'm going to just switch back to this guy. And we need to cut this. Sorry. I think I forgot to run it.
Oh, that happens to me all the time.
Yeah. Right. I'm going to go back in. And here I go. So just like that, I have the ability to change the label color. And look, I didn't have to implement any UI for this, right? This was just out of the box. And the same thing with the outer line. I can easily control its thickness. I can make it this thick if I want.
You can make it as ugly as you like.
Exactly.
That's the beauty of these tools. I love it. You know, because I've seen some visualizations that people have made pretty ugly, and they want them to be that way. So if you want them to be ugly, we can, they call it customized there. I call it ugly. You can make it as customized as you like.
That's true. And you can also debug this in your browser. So you can use the browser's built-in debug tool. So here I could just go in and type in asterplot, right? And I get all this. And this is just TypeScript translated JavaScript, and say I just want to see what my data points look like, and I'm trying to solve an issue. So the breakpoint steps in, and I can, here you go.
There you go.
This is my translated object. These are the values, and I can play around with it. Isn't that cool?
That's fantastic. Like, I kind of want to go in there and, like, draw my own stuff, you know? Like, you can show a cat if things are good and a dog if things are bad, or vice versa if you like dogs or like cats.
Pretty savvy. And as a final thing, obviously, with any Power BI visualization, you can now pin it to your dashboard. Let's not save that. And here you have it. So that's custom visualizations.
That was pretty fast. So how much of a knowledge of D3 or the underlying drawing technologies do you need to have in order to make this work?
I would say that you need a drawing technology. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter what it is. And I think that's about all you need. So the iVisual interface doesn't actually enforce anything special.
I see.
It just tells you that this is what I'm going to do in the various actions. Like if I get new data, I'm going to call update. Mm-hmm. When I initialize, I'm going to call initialize. But everything else, so you can literally take a visualization which you've already made and quite easily transform it into one that will work in Power BI.
And so when it comes in, it's just giving you the element wherein you inject stuff.
Exactly. And the way custom visualizations would work would be how any of our visualizations work. So it's not some third-party sandbox that we put you in. We give you exactly, we're giving you the same tools we use to develop, we're giving you the same code, we're giving you exactly what we use to make our own visualizations. So that way there's no difference between first party versus third party.
So if you feel like, hey, I like the bar chart that you already have, but I want to extend it, what you can do is you can see the code you've already written, make a new custom bar chart, and do whatever you want in that regard.
Sure, you can do that, or if you really want to improve and fix bugs, you can send us a pull request and we'll accept it.
Nice.
And everyone can get this
new
bar
chart. That's fantastic. So when you are making these things, where do they live? Like, for example, where do these dashboards live?
Where do these dashboards
live? Are they on your local premises? Is there, is this, I see it's a powerbi.com. Is this a website? Is it a service? How does that work?
Correct. So Power BI is a service and all your dashboards live in the cloud. And right now, these custom visualizations with these developer tools which we have released, and for the purpose we'll announce at the end of this, is only on your local storage. So right now we save everything locally, and so if you were to share this dashboard, for instance, the person would not be able to see the Aster plot. But in the coming weeks, we'll be able to release more tooling and how you'll be able to publish these visualizations, possibly to yourself or to your own organization for that matter.
Fantastic. So what else do you have for us today?
Nicole.
Okay, I will do the honors for the contest. So starting today, we'll start. We want to announce that the Power BI visual contest will start September 3rd, and for a duration of 4 weeks. So we'll kick off the contest for 4 weeks, and that will allow people from all over the world to come and build visuals for use in Power BI. Yes. Not only that, the top visuals are going to be included in Power BI, but we'll also be giving to this awesome person that creates that visual a prize, $5,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
So if you're going to make your dog and cat visualization, now is the time. Win some money.
Yes. So the first place prize, it's actually $5,000. For the second place, we have $2,500. Mm-hmm. And for the third place, we have $1,500.
Oh, my goodness. That's fantastic.
Yes. But more than that, there is also a People's Choice Award.
Oh, hey.
So there will be three of them. Every one of it will be $1,000. Mm-hmm. And we'll award them in for the second, third, and fourth week of the contest. Mm-hmm. And it's actually based on the number of tweets, the retweets.
I see.
So don't try to duplicate the tweets.
Yeah, so, we have computers here at Microsoft. Yes. We can tell when things happen.
Yes. So all the information will be available on our website at aka.ms/PowerBIVizContest.
Okay.
So you can find all the rules and all the prizes that will be that are up there for grab. Mm-hmm. So the main. The judges will use creativity and technical excellence and applicability as a way to judge actually the submissions.
Okay.
You're gonna find on the website that all the code needs to be under MIT license.
Of course.
And available into a public GitHub repository, definitely. So we are looking forward to start the contest.
Yeah.
And we'll be here available, you know, along the way to answer any questions and provide information to help unleash the creativity of people all over the world. And we are looking forward to seeing what people will create.
That's awesome. And the thing that's neat is that you start out by telling us you're not just limited by D3. You can draw stuff into the canvas. You can use WebGL or something else. I don't know what else there is, but you can use whatever you like to make whatever kind of visualizations you want.
Correct.
That's fantastic. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you for having us.
Again, the contest, aka.ms, Power BI Viz Contest. And to learn more, you just go to github.com/Microsoft/PowerBI-visuals and go to powerbi.com. I think you can start your own free account.
Yes.
Tell us about that for a second.
So for the free account for Power BI, Yes, so you can find on the powerbi.com actually how to create your account and how to get your subscriptions to Power BI service. And for GitHub, it's just, you know, usual GitHub repositories that practically you need to have an account there, and you just ideally fork the, our own repository and get started there. And we look forward to see the everyone's creations.
Well, you have everything you need to get started and win some money. So yes. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Sure.
Thanks so much for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
Thank you.